The Rush Hour.
Ford Ranger, Australia's number one selling vehicle 2023, based on 2023 full year VFACTS results. The Rush
Hour. Now, as we all know, I am very, very social compared to the other members of this team, Elliot and producer Luke.
I'm social when I want to be.
True, true. You're the in-between person. He's definitely, Elliot's at the bottom for sure. I'd love your solution for this conundrum. I've been invited to 3 separate events on the same day.
Just don't go to any of them.
Are any of them enticing to go to?
Okay, so one of them is working the Dolphins game, which obviously I have to do.
Right.
That's not a social engagement. That's work.
Then there's three additional social events to that.
Right.
So I'm going to do that game, and then I'm going to try and like skedaddle off to one of these events. The second is a wedding. The third is a baby shower, and then the third is a 50th, which I got invited to today.
Well, the wedding, I'm assuming you're going to miss the wedding part, so it'll be the reception.
I know, and can you go to a reception after you haven't gone to the...
Well, have you already RSVP'd for the wedding?
I have to RSVP in the next few days.
Well, I would suggest that one you can get out of easily because you're not going to be at the actual wedding party.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, very late RSVP for organised people. What's the other one? The second one? Baby shower.
Yes.
What time is that?
This weekend?
No. It's in like a month and a half.
Ah. Oh, I love it.
I didn't ever specify the date, though.
Right. I just assume.
Yeah. You're like, very late. I was like, for when?
Well, because I don't think a plan's in 6 weeks' time.
But also, wedding RSVPs usually are done like 4 months in advance.
It's June now, but they only invited me like a month ago. The invitation's only went out
a month ago. Okay, well, wedding in the bin. What time of day is the baby shower?
In the afternoon, and I have to be at the footy early, so I think that one's pretty much a write-off.
Boring.
So you're going partying with the 50-year-olds?
Yeah, I think I have to, don't I?
I mean, it's the only nighttime event.
But then if I go to the 50-year-olds party after the footy, then the wedding people will be like, well, what the hell?
How far away from the wedding reception? Well, I mean, you go to the wedding reception, get free booze, and then go to the 50.
She's pregnant. She's not boozing anyway.
Oh, yeah. True. I mean, you could. No.
It means I can drive between.
I think that sounds stressful. You shouldn't be doing anything stressful when you're pregnant. So I say just go home.
Yeah, because you're going to be 6 weeks. You're going to be 30 weeks preggers by then.
Yeah, geez, I will be actually. Can't sit in the exit row anymore.
And then don't get me started on you and the exit
row. Man, I got 4 weeks left of exit row privileges.
How many?
Do you know Alex and I go to Magic Round and he said, oh shit, I booked the exit row. And I was like, yeah, no worries. I'll just quickly check the airline rules for Virgin or whatever.
Yeah.
They said you can't from 27 weeks. I literally will be 26 weeks and 5 days.
I can see the headline now, you know, Virgin plane crashes into the ocean. All could have been survived on board, but the pregnant lady couldn't open the door with the carpal tunnel. Yeah.
Hey, there's 5 other people.
So
Alex
actually,
can just do
you
the
can't
job for
because
me.
If you've got carpal tunnel, you can't actually do it. So they're going to tell you sorry.
I want this visual, please. So when they do the, they brief all the exit row people and they say to you, they look in the eye, are you willing and able?
I mean,
to
technically
help
I am
you?
Based on those rules.
You are not able.
You can barely text on your phone.
Send
voice notes.
Well, yeah, the carpal tunnel bit I forgot about, and that was, to be fair, after Alex asked me that question. So we'll have to reassess. But prior to the carpal tunnel,
we don't have any flights coming
all
up
was
together,
fine.
Do we?
No.
Okay, that's good luck.
Yeah, but if you're on the exit row as well, like, will you not just, mate, all that the exit row people do, trust me, I've sat there 1,000 times.
You've had lots of crashes.
All we do is open the door. Surely out of 6 people.
The door weighs 25 kilos.
Yeah, but one person does it.
But shouldn't you have 6 people that are able?
Okay, anyway, if the other five fail...
It's a can of worms.
Yeah, what if one of them gets knocked out in whatever emergency is happening?
I don't even trust Alex to be able to lift that heavy. He's weak as piss.
True. But there's
you agree
mate,
to that
I sat
quick.
Next to a woman. I sat next to a woman the other day. It was like 70 in the exit row.
And she shouldn't be there either.
Well, it's technically
I
not
I think you
the
should
rules.
Be a fit woman or man in between the ages of 18 and about 45. Maybe 50. I'm ageist as well.
If you're a fit
as well
50-year-old,
as
why not?
Well, maybe they shouldn't charge for it then, and they should allocate people who they
you should,
think
you
fit.
You should fit in the BMI. I don't even fit in the BMI. I shouldn't even be
Barely
allowed there.
Barely anyone fits in the bloody BMI these days. They could just give it to people. They could allocate it to people instead of making it this paid privilege and then turning it into a big thing.
But then you get body shamed. If you allocate, then you're like, well, why did I get picked? I'm in great shape. You know what I mean? There'll be fights.
I reckon they should allocate the exit rows based on who shows up to the gate, so that the person who's sitting there doing all the pre...
No, because
the
wankers will come like 8 hours early.
No, you do the pre... Well, they don't have to choose straight away. They just need to choose before people board.
Maybe there's a push-up comp and the top six people in the push-up comp can do it.
See, I'd fail the push-up
comp. I've got a better idea because everyone's really mean to customer service people these days.
Yep.
The air hostesses get to choose based on who's not a flog to them.
I mean, I'm down with that.
Yeah, there'd only be probably nice seven people that were working.
What did you think of the bloke that was flying from Sydney to Brisbane, I think, and he took a photo of his wife going up the stairs?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And the Jetstar person called him an idiot, and he's lashed out. It's like, well, mate, you are. Everyone knows not to take a photo or use your phone.
But he was banned from the flight, too,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, because he started fighting back with... He said,
did he
you
fight?
Call me an idiot. Well, not physically, but verbally. And they had a stoush.
Look, I know that you're not supposed to use your phones on the tarmac and whatever. I think he's just unlucky because people do it all the time.
You think he's unlucky?
No, I think he's unlucky for being singled out because people do it all the time with zero consequence.
Yeah,
I think
they're idiots too.
Yeah, 100%.
But texting or like looking on your phone is pretty different to getting your family and taking a photo, which is what he did. I saw the photo.
Yeah, it's a lovely photo. You got the plane in the background, they're going up the stairs. It's a great shot.
I had one time where I was getting on the plane stairs and it was like traffic jam to get on the plane. So my phone started ringing. I was like, oh, and then I was like, oh no, I can't look at it because I'm so rule adverse.
In strife for that.
Yeah,
you've got to take your phone out because if you're using your phone to board as well.
True. So I had it held for my ticket.
Yeah.
Did we ever work out what the science behind putting things in flight mode was? Like, what does it actually do to the planes if we don't do that?
I think they did it on Mythbusters.
Ah.
And they said that it doesn't. It's like petrol station.
Because I'm not going to lie, I sometimes forget, which probably makes me an idiot.
Well, they say that petrol station phone is more about you not being distracted
that
than
one scares
anything
me.
Else.
I just feel like I'm going to send a text to the petrol station and it's going to explode.
Yeah. No, they say it's not to do with that. No, it's to do with distraction.
Well, whatever they've done,
they
got me
scared.
Because
you shouldn't be operating a motor vehicle or like a petrol pump if you're distracted.
Oh, I won't be touching any of that. Anyway, show today, Luke.
AB continued on her fake campaign to be premier.
I think it's got real legs. I think I'm going to get a call from one of the parties.
Today's idea was better than last week's. Not that that's saying much, but it was better.
Well, hey, like everyone, I'm on the improve.
It was improved. Yeah.
It's still questionable. I don't agree.
A lot of holes.
Elliot, you had a traffic puzzle that you needed solving. I still don't think we solved it.
Oh, I feel like the last bloke we spoke to got there, but Cecil almost ruined everything.
Yeah.
Cecil derailed everything. I've never met a Cecil I trusted.
But it was such a shame because everyone
else there as
knew.
A curveball purposely.
Bloody Cecil.
Everyone else knew the rules except him.
Cecil. Yeah. Cecil,
was
we
so
should get rid of that name.
Self-assured.
Fun police, we might get rid of Cecil permanently.
We did a follow-up with Stuart Wiggins from the Laura Pub. AB, you did a little personal piece about the Bondi, what are we calling it?
Junction tragedy.
Yeah, tragedy.
The Bondi tragedy, yeah. Elliot, running with Abby.
Oh, she sucks.
It's taken
not
a turn.
Not
I'm
at running.
I'm embarrassed by you for
her
that.
Her behaviour.
And her,
well, it's
sorry.
Not, it's not me.
Yeah, but you still run alongside her.
No, see, I've purposely run in front of her because of what she's doing. So
yeah,
I'm running
like
a good...
It.
You'd be proud of me last night. I did on purpose.
Yeah.
The last 3 minutes, I pushed the pace.
Oh, nice.
Actually, I was going to say, it might motivate you to run quicker.
Yeah, or to run away from it. Yeah. But she's fitter than me, so I can't really... She's like a gnat. I can't get away from
her. I thought you were going to say she tries to hold hands when running. That's that's all Brad for her.
Yeah, no, that's gross.
Too sweaty for that.
Actually, you know what? Really proud that you went for the run, because both of us yesterday after the show, we were like, I'm going for a run. I'm like, I've got to go to the gym, but I don't want to go. Neither of us wanted to go, but we both went.
I laid on the couch, just with both eyes closed for a while, questioning my life decisions.
I sat in the car park for a good 5-10 minutes after the show and just went, I'm not going.
How bad, and I'm sure you have it with Pilates or whatever too.
Yeah, I went today.
Is the pre-game jitters, we'll call it, where we sit in the car and be like, oh, God.
And also, because we're adults, we have every capability of pulling out. That's
exactly
the problem. I wish that, like, I was fined.
Oh.
Or I wish that they, like, legally dragged me in. But, yeah, and I went to Pilates today and my hands were hurting. And she was like, we're doing arm day today.
I can't.
I got tunnels in my carpels.
I
can't lift
through.
A can't lift an exit
I
row.
I wouldn't want to be a weak gutter dog, so I pushed through.
Oh, enjoy. Yeah. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
Queensland is set to go back to the polls later this year, October. The state election that's been very highly anticipated is taking place. Will Labor retain with the new Premier Stephen Miles, or will the Libs get up with David Crisafulli? Or perhaps is there a Smokey in the mix altogether that isn't actually officially going to put in a proper candidacy but is going to give election promises nonetheless? You don't want to? No, okay. Well, look, it could be me. I am putting forward my election promises if I were Premier. And hey, if it gets enough traction, who knows what'll happen?
What was last
Probably
week?
Probably not that, actually, because I will just have had a kid. Last week, my suggestion was that we add Nangs to the Return and Earn program because I'm sick of walking the streets, seeing them thrown into creeks and parks Terrible. And whatever. No, incentivizing recycling.
Yeah, so kids do more of them so they get money.
That's a different policies problem to deal with. Anyway, today's I think you might like.
Okay.
People who keep their gardens nice, I'm talking good lawns, like well-maintained garden beds and the like, should be entitled to discounted council rates.
What kind of rights?
Like your water, land tax if you're in your house, that kind of thing. You should be allowed to have a percentage taken off if you've got a good gardener. And then we can create more jobs. The garden judgment people that go around and check the neighbourhoods. Or you can nominate a neighbour. Because I told you before, my grandma, she actually leaves little notes in people's house to tell them that they have lovely gardens. She'd happily volunteer for the position.
So you can nominate someone on your street to be the garden checker in her house.
And
so,
say, your house proud, I'm proud of you, therefore you deserve a rate discount.
You don't think there'd be bias in that you don't like all your neighbours. So if you don't like Cheryl, who lives on, you know, lot two or whatever, even though her garden's outstanding, you're going to tell the council that it's awful.
Nah, because like I said, there's an independent body. We could get volunteers to take part.
Okay, so just to check again, so you want to have a designated street checker and then a designated council checker on top of that?
Well, I think if someone gets enough nominations from the neighbourhood, then they're automatically, like, the checker will come out, see it, be like, yep, tick, that is an adequate garden.
Right.
You could even submit your own garden photos and the like as well to be considered. Yep, yep. Well, no, it's state government, obviously, not council. That's already done.
Right.
And then, yeah, as a result, your property will get a discount on some of your rates. I think that's a council thing. But anyway, I'll liaise with council, obviously.
Just to clear
when
just
it comes to the date.
Because I know you've done all the ins and outs of this, obviously.
Of course.
You've got it all worked out.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, if I live on Smith Street and there's, I don't know, 50 houses on Smith Street, shouldn't every house, if it's clean, they should get discounts?
If they have a nice yard, if they're house proud, I'm talking.
Right.
And like, obviously, if it's been a rainy week and the lawn's a little bit long, we're not going to punish people for that. But if generally, 365 days a year, majority of the days, your property looks spick and span, top shelf.
And the new job title is called what, sorry?
That one we're still working on from Garden Checkerer.
Yep.
We'll take
Garden
suggestions
checkerer.
For names.
Right, yeah, that needs
yeah,
work.
The, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not as bad as the Nang thing. I wouldn't say it's particularly well thought out.
We can bring our state to a higher standard.
Yeah.
I hate to say this, Queensland, but I drive some of the streets of this great state and I'm disappointed. I went to Victoria last year and some of the areas had nicer gardens and that's embarrassing for us.
I helped you move house. You and your husband, Alex.
Correct.
Now, I moved about 20 pot plants and 20 of those pot plants had dead plants inside.
Correct. I've thrown them all
away.
So
you'd have to change your ways as well.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I'm going to be a person that's necessarily adequate for the discounted rates, but other people will. No, I've got my lawns mowed.
No, you pay someone to mow your lawns.
Exactly.
You
why I should get a discount even more. Maybe this is self-motivated.
Wow. Again, not as bad as Nangs. Definitely needs work. Oh, I'm excited to see what week three is your potential premier can bring us. And we will need your help today. 133353. And I will apologise to you straight off the bat. You will have a headache by the end of this. I need you to use your brains and AB, I really need you to pay close attention.
Do I need a pen and paper?
It could help. If you're the passenger in the car today, kids in the back, you'll need to be of assistance
too. All right, let's do this.
I need you to solve this stop sign puzzle. On a road I walk down every day after work, I take my dogs down there for a wander and it confuses the you-know-what out of me every time. I walk down Diprose Street, but it should be called Dipshit Street because dead set... It doesn't make any sense. You walk down Dip Rose, right? And I'll paint a picture. I'm walking straight towards a hospital. In front of me, and I'm on road B. In front of me on road B, there's a stop sign.
Yep.
To my left, we're going to call that road A, there's a stop sign. To my right, that's row C, there's a stop sign.
So, oh my God, they need a roundabout.
As I look straight ahead, there's a stop sign right in front of me. There is a stop sign to the left, a stop sign to the right. Every time I go for a wander there is nearly an accident because people don't know which way to give way. I would have thought you give way to the right.
Yeah.
However, the more I think about it, the more confusing it is. Because then what happens about the two that are going straight? What if one of them turns?
Well, if you're turning, you have to give way because you're coming into that person's oncoming traffic.
Makes enough sense. Mm-hmm. But why is that not what happens every time people drive? To the point now.
That's a crap road. That needs a roundabout or lights.
13353, can you solve the dilemma of Diprose Street? So if I'm on road A, I've swapped to road A. That means I've got B on my right and I've got C straight ahead of me. I would give way to the right, correct?
Well, if you were trying to turn right,
yeah.
Yes, you'd have to give way to the person in front of you because you're entering their road, and also you have to give way to the person to the right because you're entering their road.
So fiancée Abby, her argument
is... Oh, no, I would not want to see her tackle this. No disrespect to her, but is, far out, that is... Can you get her to go a different way?
Road B, the one I go on, is a bigger road, so you just get to do what you want. You don't give way to anyone.
Yeah, that's how it works. The hierarchy of road size.
So
that's a crap road. Dead
B,
set, council. What the hell?
13353.
When in doubt, roundabout.
I've got road B. That's what I'm on. Stop sign in front of me. Road A to the left. Road C to the right. Stop signs on all of them, except for the coming the other way. We don't even need to get into D. Why is there always nearly an accident? Why can't we work it? Have I got it wrong? Because in my head, I'm like, oh, give way to the right. Maybe it's not that simple.
No, I think you've got it right.
I really do.
I think Abby's probably causing a few of these near accidents.
I'm glad she doesn't drive up that road. 13353. I'd love to, and maybe someone out there that works for the coppers or main roads or whatever knows the actual.
Surely two plus stop signs indicates that it needs a roundabout.
The fable of Diprose Street. 13353.
Let's go to Rockhampton first. 13353 is the number. Mick, what are your thoughts, mate?
So, in Queensland, you when you come to a stop sign, you must then obey the give way rules.
Right.
So it's actually two sets of rules, which is, Elliot, you're correct, give way to the right.
Right.
Or if you are turning across someone's direct line of traffic. So if you're turning and they're going straight, you must give way to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a difficult one because you've only got three stop signs.
I want to throw a confusing curveball at you, Mick, because I'm trying to paint this picture in my own head. Let's look at road A and road C, who, if yes, yep, they're going straight past each other, fine. However, what yep if they're both turning in the opposite direction?
Oh, gosh.
You don't actually cross the paths.
Yeah, so you can just go, yeah. Fair.
See, this is dead set.
But what if they were both crossing each other's paths? Because you can't give way to the right, but both of each other are on the right.
Oh, now it's too confusing.
No. If you've got two cars coming directly towards each other,
yeah,
and they are both making a right-hand turn, crossing the direction of traffic, neither car will go past each other. They'll pass on the left-hand side of the car.
Oh, yeah, so they can just go at the same time.
I no longer have a visual, which is making this hard. Good on you, Mick.
Yuck.
We're going to go to Serena up next. Cecil, thanks for calling the Rush Hour. Can you simplify this even more for us?
Yeah, well, how I see it, if you've got a four-way, you call it a four-way stop.
Yeah.
Now, I know you've got one street that doesn't have the stop sign.
Yes.
So they will have the right of way regardless of the other three because they've got no stop sign.
Yes.
But for the other three, it depends on who gets there first. They always have the right of way to go their way because they stop first.
I think
there's no such thing as you gotta go right of way for people turning this way or that way.
I'm going to pause you, Cecil, not because you're not interesting, just because my brain can't compute with all of that. So you're saying to me, if someone, if I'm on the giving way to the right, or whatever, meant to give way to the right. If I'm there before them, I don't have to give way to the right. That can't be.
No, that is not a rule.
Yeah, well, if they've got a stop sign, they still have to stop. And you've been there before then, so then you have the right of way to turn because you were there before.
I'm not surprised that there's near accidents at this stop sign.
I don't think that's right.
No, you still have to give way to the right. That's like the number one thing.
This could confuse it further. Damo, hopefully you can bring us some sense. I'm not saying Cecil's wrong. It doesn't sound right, though. Diprose Street, sort it out for us.
All right, pretty simple.
Thank you.
at the stop sign, you have to stop.
Yes.
But also, it also depends on the line markings as well.
Yeah.
If it's a solid line going across the road, you have to stop and give way to all.
Yeah.
But if it's a stop sign with a broken line, that means you've got to stop to give way to the right.
They're all solid lines, I can tell you that much. All three are solid lines.
That means everyone has to stop.
Right.
And everyone has to wait until the intersection's cleared. So that's a cancel issue.
It's so, a huge council. It
is, we can all agree that this is terrible town planning, can we?
Your new premier, that would be next week's election promise, I reckon.
Right.
I think it's council, though. Not, you've got a few other not state government.
Damo, at least, he put a little bit of clarity there. Cecil's just confused me even further. Hey, shout out. I live in Townsville. Anyone that runs along Dipro Street near that little hospital there, good
Let's
luck
campaign.
To you. Good luck to you. Don't drive past it because you won't work it out.
Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
Now, AB, we actually spoke to this bloke last week, Stu. We'll bring in a second. But for those that missed it, a horrendous story last year. Kevin Darmody, a gentleman that was taken by a croc in Lakefield. At the time, he was running a pub up in Laura. Said pub since then had been overgrown, needed some TLC, a little bit of love. And that's where Stuart Wiggins comes in. Stu joins us again today. Mate, you made the move from Canberra to Laura to take over this pub. You reopened over the weekend. How emotional a moment was it pouring that first beer or opening those doors?
Oh, it was good, mate. It was good for myself, and it was good for the the people that's helped me get to this stage. You know, it's been a massive effort, you know, and just for the locals, you know, just to see some of the heads come in, you know, like that have been waiting 12 months to sit and have a first beer. You know, it's been a long ride for them, you know.
No doubt. Now, you've renamed the bar Stumpy's after your good mate, Kevin. What sort of elements of his personality and character still remain in the bar today that people can enjoy?
Oh, that's it. Well, he was well known over the Cape, you know, and it was funny that we had people that come from 2 hours, 2.5 hours, that's their local, you know, just to come to the, you know, the opening, you know, it's crazy. You wouldn't want to pull up and reach in the back pocket and realise you left your wallet on the kitchen bench, you know.
Maybe an IOU system, perhaps, for that person.
I think so. Yeah.
Stu, no doubt you met a lot of people for the first time. What kind of stories did they share for the ones that knew Stumpy?
Oh, it was good. Some of the locals, you know, because they just people that have been known him for 20 years, you know, and it was, you know, and some of the people I haven't seen for a long time. I've been coming up here for 20 years myself, but, you know, when I rolled into town the other day with the big trailer with about 10 foot high, I thought there was a reenactment of Lampoon's Vacation coming to town. So I had to realise what was coming to town. So, you know, finally I got to see what was in the pub.
And what kind of specials are you running at the pub at the moment? What's your most proud item on the menu, or maybe beer on tap?
Yeah, we've only just got a couple of beers on tap at this stage, but we're just doing pizzas. I have never had that sort of up in Laura, and that we sort of bought a pizza oven. We've been doing them. We've rolled a few out of them today already, so it's just starting to, but just mainly our steaks and lamb shanks and stuff like that. But we're just at this stage, we'll probably keep it a little bit low key, and then just once the PDR opens, you know, then the floodgates open. So
we'll just extend it.
Yeah, that's all good.
And what about, I'll give you an example here. So in Townsville, there's a place called the Mad Cow. Producer Luke is their biggest pest. He's there all the time. They always have to kick him out. Have you got one of them yet at Stumpy's, a regular you can't get rid of?
Not yet, but I reckon it won't be far off.
Yeah.
Have you got a wall?
I had one at 9 o'clock the other morning, so I thought, no, just a little bit too early, mate.
Yeah. Even like a wall?
Come back in a couple of hours.
Of all of the photos of people in previous years? Or do we start a clean slate and go, I'll welcome the pests back and then make my own mind
yeah,
up?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and then you just start working them all out. And then if you've got to sift one out now and again, that's so be it. But, you know, you've got to start all fresh and, you know, and we'll go from there.
Well, Stumpy's in Laura, about 300 k's north west of Cairns, certainly with the trip to that part of the world, by the way. It is a beautiful spot in regional Queensland. Stuart, a great story. You've taken over this joint, mate. Glad you're enjoying the regions, and no doubt we'll get in touch with you soon.
Thanks, guys, and thanks for being in contact.
Now, it's been a couple of days in the aftermath of the Bondi Junction tragedy, and we didn't really want to speak about it too much on this show. I think all of the conversations have pretty much happened, and a lot of Queensland are still trying to process it. It's really, really difficult. I I mean, like a lot of us yesterday, we were watching, I think the latest thing that a lot of media outlets have decided to do is go and hound Joel Couchy's parents in Toowoomba, where they live, Andrew and Michelle. And there were a number of interviews that they took part in. I had some of the audio clipped to play this afternoon, but honestly, it's so distressing. I just don't think people need to hear it again. It upsets me to hear. It's going to upset everybody else in their car on the way home. But I wanted to touch on some of the comments that Andrew did make in regards to Joel, the man obviously responsible for this knife attack in Bondi Junction that has taken the lives of six people. There are other people still in hospital who was killed by police on the day. He spoke about Joel's mental illness growing up, that he had schizophrenia, that they tried their best to control his illness as much as they could. He was seeing psychiatrists, but after he turned 18 or 21 or whatever, he decided that he wanted to scale back off of that medication. And that one rang particularly true to me because I have a family member that is similar. Before this family member was 18, we were able to make sure that his mental illness was taken care of with medication and regular psychiatric care. And sometimes, you know, in particular, shout out to my mum, you know, she was having these difficult conversations, insisting, no, you have to keep getting help. It's really, really important. Stay on the course of medication, even if it is tough. This person, I will put out straight away, doesn't have tendencies to be violent to other people, but has tendencies to hurt himself, which is our biggest concern. He did see regular psychiatric help and was on medication, but of course, much like the parents of Joel, once he turned 18, this is really, really hard to manage for families. You can't force somebody to go and see a psych. You can't force somebody to stay on medication. They have to choose themselves. And as a lot of people who've been on medication in the past have known, when you start to feel better, you think, I'm good. I don't actually need it anymore. I'll go off of it. And I can't even tell you how many times that's happened over the last decade since he did turn 18. He's gone off medication, and then 3 months later we get that call and he's in a psychiatric ward. He's in the hospital on suicide watch. We've got to sit in with him, convince him again to start the course, go see a different psychiatrist, wait the wait list of how long it takes in this state to see a psychiatrist and get that help. So I guess if there are any Queenslanders that are listening right now that are in a similar position, it isn't abnormal, I think, to hear the comments from Andrew and Michelle. Obviously, they're in a very abnormal position, but it's not strange to relate to them if you've gone through this, if you have someone in your family who has turned 18 and you can't control them anymore. There are no legal ways that you can. And for many people, they can control their mental health and they can move on and take care of themselves fine. So it wouldn't be fair to say there's this blanket rule where everybody has to be controlled their entire life if they're sick. I don't know what the solution is, but I guess I just want to put out there for anybody that's in the same boat, I feel you as well. It's challenging.
For someone like that, if they get put into a psychiatric ward, if they say, I'm sweet and they want to leave and they're over 18, can they just go?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's their choice. It's 100% elected. So, and I'm talking about having conversations with someone who is catatonic almost and trying to say, please, like the amount of times I've been into, and mental health wards are despicable in this country. It's not just Queensland. They're some of the most horrific places. This family member was assaulted by someone in one of those wards one time. You don't want them to be there. You want to do everything to avoid getting them there. But there's no solution. I don't know what it is. 1-13-11-14, obviously, for Lifeline, if you or someone needs help. But I just want to send my love to other people that are in the same boat as me, where you're scared all the time after 18 because you don't know what you can do. There's no answers.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
Now, your relationship compared to mine, for the most part, quite different, but some similarities are starting to come together. So you and Alex are both very codependent. Absolutely.
I mean, I travel a lot and he like goes down to Sydney.
How many TV shows do you watch apart?
Oh, like none now, exactly. Thanks to you. Your terrible influence has rubbed off.
What do you mean?
We have a separate TV. He doesn't watch shows with me anymore.
Well, that's what I just said. How many shows do you watch apart? So you're watching lots
all of
now.
Them.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It used to be that anything you watched, he would have to do on whatever. You used
Correct.
To do all the same stuff.
Yep. Closeness.
My relationship's never been like that until recently. And it's been in a nice way in that I'd started going for runs, which I never thought I'd say in a sentence.
Well done to you, by the way.
Thank you.
You started doing all of your boxing and everything, and it's transformed into running now.
Yeah, I'm a boring flog.
But when's your half marathon?
Never happening. Abby started coming with me on the runs, which, you know, is a nice thing. You know, it's not a time to talk, whatever, but it's nice. We take a dog each and whatever.
She's always been a runner too, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's much fitter than me in that aspect. She was doing 10Ks for a while. I die after about three. But there is a certain behaviour of hers that just needs to be hit on the head. This is, I think you'll think this is as appalling as I do. And forgive me here because this is not meant to be offensive. I just don't know a lot of music in this genre. She's a big fan of Hispanic music. Ricky Martin's Hispanic.
Everyone's a Ricky Martin fan.
Okay, thank you. But she likes Hispanic music in that language.
Oh, Latino,
yeah.
Proper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the issue. She doesn't like Hispanic music in headphones. Excuse me. When we run now,
no.
She brings a bum bag.
No.
She puts her phone in there and turns the volume all the way
no.
up. So she's playing hippity hoppity versions of this out loud as we run past people as grown adults in their 30s.
Oh my God. I never thought I would disagree with anything she does.
But that's disgusting,
isn't
it?
I hate that.
Yeah. And people look at us funny.
And what do you run at night as well? So what,
exactly.
Your neighbors just have to hear Ricky Ma- What?
Well, it's not, again, it's
the
it's,
obnoxiousness of no headphones.
And it's,
Abby, what?
She just doesn't get, like, the glares we get from people too. And it's from a lot of sides. Kids that, you know, walk around past judge because, like, well, you're too old for Hispanic hip hop, rap, whatever that is. And then the older people look at us like we're Eshay scumbags.
Yeah, because it's giving Eshay.
Yeah.
I have to say.
I mean, I'm surprised my dogs don't have do-rags on them at this stage. It's disgraceful behaviour.
Have you tried to at least change them? I mean, compromise.
No. What am I going to play out loud that people accept? Louis Armstrong, you know, it's a wonderful
know,
world.
Our podcast. Get some listeners,
That's
at least.
Actually not a terrible idea, but if it's just us listening, I don't know if that helps with the numbers.
Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
Wouldn't you rather be driving Australia's number one selling vehicle of 2023? Ford Ranger? Discover why at your local Ford dealer.